All right, let's start this morning with a word of prayer. Okay? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for gathering us again. Whether we had a good week, an okay week, a strained week, full of challenges, we want to come before you this morning and put all of those burdens before you, so because we know you're a God who cares and who sees, and a God who is still in control. We praise you because you have overcome the world, but there is tribulation, but we can be of good cheer because of who you are. Thank you. You are a loving Father. Cares for us. And who speaks to us individually. May you speak to us this morning so that we can hear you and we can be transformed by you. And thank you for this time that we are able to gather. And we want to remember Casey's family, as a part of this, this church and family. And we want to just pray that Spirit will be with Aaron right now and her family. That comfort and mercy shower over them. Be with them only the way that, that they would understand. We lift, lift their parents into their parents. In your name we pray. Okay. Okay, the Canaanite woman. That's kind of a general topic, but do you guys know the story? Maybe not. No, okay. All right, then Ryan, you'll get to know the story this morning. I have a lot of questions about the story, so I'm going to ask you guys to help me this morning, okay? Let's read it. Let's read the whole thing first, okay? Can someone read this, loud and clear? A short passage.
And 28.
Yes.
And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly.
Thank you. Interesting story. You know what happened? Why Jesus went away? Well, I have it right here. Right before this, if you guys can go to 15:1, Matthew 15:1, you can just read it on your own, kind of skim over it. So this helps to kind of orient our perspective first. So remember last week Jesus was walking on what? Water. And the disciples were saved. They did not sink into the ocean. They made it to the other side, which is called a town called Capernaum. Okay, and then that's where they were. And then there's synagogues there, there's church there. So Jesus attended the church in the gathering, and he got into an argument with the church leaders, the Pharisees, right, in 15, chapter 15:1, which is right before this incident. And he was, this is what he was doing. The Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus, right from Jerusalem, and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Why do you not follow the rules?" That's what they taught Jesus. Hey, rules here. You're breaking the rules. It's not legal for you. Okay? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. That's no-no. Hey, that's what I tell my children. They wash their hands before you eat. That's a rule. Okay? And that's bad in the Jewish, because the cleanliness, right? You gotta wash your hands. And that's a pretty good rule, to wash your hands before you eat, right? Right? Who doesn't wash their hands before they eat? No, no one's going to admit to that, right? Okay. So that's a pretty good rule. But they're telling Jesus, hey, your disciples are dirty. They don't wash their hands. Don't wash their hands before they eat. Mm-hmm. He answered them, why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition? So there's a lot that's going on. They continue to argue a lot about tradition versus their heart. And that's where Jesus goes. So Jesus, yeah, I'll show you, goes from here, they're around here, goes all the way to Tyre, here in Sidon. Right, goes all the way up that area. And what is that area? We kind of talked about it before. They are the place of Gentiles. Most non-believing, right, godless folks live there because they don't know about God.
They're not necessarily godless. They're just...
they don't believe in...
Yahweh.
Yahweh, right. So they don't believe in Yahweh. So that's where they live. And in other parts of the gospel, that's where the poor is from. And when they hear about Jesus, they travel all the way here, right? From Tyre and Sidon. You keep on hearing these places. They come all the way here asking for healing. But this time, Jesus withdrew. Why do you think Jesus withdrew to such a place? From a religious place? Full of God's people, if you will, to a godless, in this case, they don't believe in Yahweh. That's what I mean when I say godless. Why do you think Jesus went from a place where they worshiped Yahweh to a place where they did not worship Yahweh? Right after this whole lengthy argument with the religious leaders about tradition, why do you think Jesus retreated or withdrew from that faith? So, by the way, before you guys answer and think about it, in the past few days, I was listening to some, young Asian American musician that's blossoming, okay? It's not because I really understand their music, but I want to know. I want to know what, I'm like, wow, you know, these all these young Asian artists coming out, that's great, right? When I was younger, all the artists were in Hong Kong. There's no Asian American artists, but there's a lot now, and it's coming up. I want to know. I don't want to push that away. I want to know. Yeah, it's different, right? Because you know, maybe some of them are believers too. I don't know if God is putting creativity. They're going to be the future leaders too. The reason why I share that is because I want young creative minds, and I want to know what's in your heart. I want to know what's in your mind too. I may not understand it, and I think when you guys share, you guys are the young artists. When you guys share, you guys bring a lot to the table. And we're like, wow, we never seen the world from your eyes. So there's no right answers. I'm very open to your thoughts. I'm very open. I don't say it just because I want you guys to talk. I'm very open to what God is doing in your heart, in your mind. Are you fine?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. You sit right here, and I'm the most comfortable with you, of course. But go ahead and share. Why do you think Jesus? You go first. Why do you think Jesus, like, withdrew to this place after he had an argument or a conversation with the elders? What do you think? Do you think he was tired?
Yeah.
Why was he tired?
Because he doesn't want to argue anymore.
He doesn't want to argue anymore, that's right. Yeah, do you get tired after you... Who do you argue with most? Russell, right. And then when you argue with his mom, where do you want to go?
Into my room.
Into your room. You will draw into your room. Get some peace and quiet, right? Yeah, you okay? Jesus was human. You think that's, you guys agree with Ryan? You think that's what Jesus was doing, maybe? Yeah, yes, maybe. And Daniel's like, yeah, maybe. You spend all day arguing over, what do you guys argue over? Huh? The remote. Okay, I don't know. I don't think Jesus is arguing with the remote. But yes, okay. But Jesus got tired. Jesus was arguing over tradition, right? Man stuff, right? So he got tired. So he withdrew. He went, he got so tired that he says, I'm out of here, right? I'm going to go to a place that they don't even talk about Yahweh. They don't even talk about God. Extremely, right? So, but that just tells you, I just noticed that. That just tells you how draining that is. He retired. Anyone want to say anything? You guys see that? He's like, now. who's you want to say something? Oh, okay. I'm drinking that. So he goes all the way up here, really looking to have some quiet time and be away. And behold, I didn't space it out right. A Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." So, a woman who doesn't know about God or Yahweh, but certainly have heard of him, otherwise he wouldn't call Jesus son of David. Now, she's not even Jewish. That's why she's a Canaanite woman. She's not even Jewish. So she calls Jesus son of David. And why, I wrote it here, but I still want to ask, why, what is the son of David? What is the significance of that name? Calling Jesus son of David. Who is David? Know the story. Come on. Who's David? You gotta know David.
Come on, class.
Come on, you gotta know David.
King David.
King David. And what is so special about King David?
He committed some bad sins, didn't he? Like Bathsheba and
stuff. Bad sins. Oh yeah, that's true. But so did everyone. We all did too. I created some bad sins, and so did you, Scott. But what's so special about King David?
Jesus came from his line, his lineage.
Okay. Okay. Tell me more. What's so special about David, though? Why does the Bible put so much focus on calling him son of David, not son of Abraham. Jesus specifically called the son of David. That's his title.
Because he was after God's own heart.
He was after God's own heart, yeah. That's very different about David. What else about David? What do you guys know about David? Any of these other special things about David? He was the first. Somebody said, he's the first king. Yes, he was the first king. And how did he become the first king? The second king. Well, okay. Why? What?
God chose him.
God chose him. Did God choose Saul? What's so special about King David?
This woman was not an Israelite, but even she knew David.
Now, if you guys go to 1 Samuel 16, can someone read that?
One young voices participate. Read it.
The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul? Since I have rejected him from being king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and go. I will sing it to Jesse.
Bethlehemite,
where I have provided for myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? He said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till you come, till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he is ruddy and have beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord says, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. Samuel rose up.
Okay. So David was born in where? Where was David born? Can you tell? Bethlehem. Right? Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. Christmas. Right? Bethlehem. Yeah. So there's a connection there. That's why he's called the son of David. That's number one. That David was born in Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. There's a connection. He's called the son of David. But even more so, yes, King David was anointed. That's very different. Anointed by God. When God's hand is upon a person, that's very, very different than the person says, I'm going to take control, or I'm going to do, or I have special powers, or I have the ability to, right? The anointing, you see right here, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David, never departed from him, which is also so special for us to have the Spirit inside of us now. Never departs from us, right? Never departs from us if we are believers. But the main difference with David is that God anointed David. God chose David.
But he anointed Saul too, dude.
But what happened?
Well, but that's what happened is different. But I mean, God still anointed him, didn't he? So how is that different? Like the only difference that I see is the Spirit of the Lord, David, not Saul. But
right.
He still picked
think, I think, and I don't know the I don't know if we want to go into the depths of that, but I do know that when the Spirit of God, that's why the wind, the Spirit is called in Hebrew, the Hakodesh. Okay? The Hakodesh. Okay? The Spirit. That's why we talk about the wind. The wind inside us is the main difference. It never left him. It never left David. Never left David. You know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit can go in, come out, and go in and do something, give him powers, right? God will use a certain person. But when the Spirit goes in, it never left David. It was so important for Jesus when he was being baptized, he saw the dove come down. The Father says, "This is my beloved Son," and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. That's why he's called the Son of David. He's the King that will not just rule over a physical kingdom. He's the King that will rule over the spiritual kingdom as well. He's the Messiah. That's the difference. Son of David, he's the King that will change everything. Without this, the Spirit of the Lord is not upon him. If the anointing is not upon him, there is, that's just man's work. That's just man's work. There's a lot in here. I have so many more, even more questions towards the end, but So the Gentile woman, the Canaanite woman says, "Hey, I know who you are. I heard the stories. You're the Son of David. You're the coming Messiah that's going to change the world. And you're not just a human, just the regular king, because can a regular king heal a person? You go to a regular king and say, hey, my daughter is demon-possessed. I need your help." Why would she go to the Son of David, the Messiah, for help in regards to a demon-oppressed daughter? Why? Because she believes what? She believes something about Jesus. What does she believe? She believes that Jesus can
heal.
She believes that Jesus can heal. You're not a king. You're somebody who's supernatural. You are God. You can do something about my demon-possessed daughter, which is extremely important to me.
Is this because she knows, or is this because she's like heard the stories of him healing people, or is it because she knows the importance of like who the Son of David is?
We don't know, but she knows something. She must have heard something. She must have learned something, right? She's like, you're different. And I believe it. That's why I came out to see you. You came to our place? Gosh, we have to travel to see you. You came to us? I'm coming out to see you, right? Because I've heard things about you, that you are different. You truly can change my life, right? So he goes to Jesus, and you expect a very pleasant meeting, but what happens here? What happens here? Jesus is reluctant to heal her. What? Is that the Jesus you know? Yes? No? That's the name? No? Who's the Jesus you know? Tell me, in your own words.
I feel like all the other miracles that he would go out of his way to do something.
Yeah.
But even when he was asked, he didn't.
Yeah. So remember that girl was bent over twice? Right? She didn't see Jesus, but Jesus is coming here, right? I want to do something for you. And this woman comes here and says, "Oh, my daughter's demon possessed. I need your help, Son of David, Lord, right? I'm proclaiming your name." And Jesus does not answer her a word. And then it's always the disciples send her away. The children, get her away, right?
What's interesting there is that Jesus, it just says that Jesus did not answer her.
Yeah.
He did not send her away, though.
No.
He just didn't answer
her. He didn't answer her.
It's the disciples
that sent her away.
Sent her away and thought, oh, Jesus is not answering.
Right.
He means this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we assume Jesus means to do this.
Yes. So, Jesus didn't answer. So, it's a very, she's not answering. So, Jesus doesn't want to deal with her. Let's send her away. Jesus needs some quiet. She's got debating with all these leaders, right? But, Jesus answered. And it's not any better, though. He says, "I was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm here to looking for my sheep from the Jewish people. Because I'm the Son of David. I'm the Messiah that's going to save my people, the Jewish people." And then she even kneeled. Right? He says, "Lord, help me." She begged him. You don't kneel if you're, not begging. What would take someone to beg, right? That's desperation. And Jesus says, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Is that Jesus? What if you heard that today? Does that cause anything in your heart when you hear that? When we're reading this, it's not like just a story. It's like, ooh, that kind of doesn't mince well. It's kind of bitter when you read this. It should, but if it doesn't, that means Jesus can do anything. You'll be like, whatever. Jesus just called her a, say it. That's strange. Now, there's a lot of commentary written on this, and there's no answer. Some people try to explain it away. Oh, it's a house dog. So it's not as bad as a stray dog. Okay, I don't care if it's a stray dog or a house dog. If you call somebody a dog, it doesn't be a dog, right? So there's a lot of tension here. And all I can say, is it possible that Jesus is a human? He's still learning about his mission. came here to save the Jewish people. This actually makes the miracle, the ending, even more of a surprise, even more, that much more valuable. So Jesus ignored her. Jesus says, I did not come here to save you. And whatever I have to give, my blessing, whatever I have to give, ain't for you. That blessing is not for you. What if you came to Jesus? I thought about this whole week. I came to Jesus. Jesus, that bless. I need that blessing. I really need it. And Jesus says, ain't for you. Ain't for you. It's only for the. It's only for the better ones. Whoever the better folks are. Ain't for you. I don't know if you guys, I mean, you guys struggle with that kind of those questions, you know? Aim for you. Is that possible?
You know, I think in America, because of kind of like global status, if you will, that we have, it's hard for us
to. Oh, we are in that status.
Yeah.
See, we are the Jews.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, globally speaking.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's hard for us to be like, oh, you know, we're all social justice, but how could you call anyone a dog? But, you know, you go to a place like India where they have a caste system and they just kind of accept or just understand where their, like, quote-unquote place is in society. You know, the, what is that, the lowest caste society is, like, the untouchable? And in India, it's like, oh, sorry, this is just reserved for the, whatever, the highest. Caste, the lower caste, you're like, yeah, I understand. You know, it, but it's not like, how dare you call me a dog? It's like, it's in that cultural context, it's just like, yeah, I know where I am. I know where I stand in society. And I think back then, for Jesus to say, I think sometimes we read attitude into certain words, but if he's just saying, hey, I'm sorry, like, what I'm here to do is for God's people only. And you are of a lower status, like, you know, it's not right for me to take something that's meant for a certain group of people and to just give it willy-willy to anyone, right? This is a very special thing that I can't just give to anybody. So I think that's kind of what I'm hearing, I think, for the first time. And her response, I don't know, we're not there yet, but
yeah.
She's like, yeah, but even those, even dogs who are close to, like if who are loyal to, who hangs around the, you know, the owner or the people, the children, we understand that there are some, I guess, favor that falls upon us. And I'm just asking for that. And it's kind of a different, like, her response is, yeah, I know I'm a dog in that sense. I agree. She's not arguing that she's not. She's like, oh. Even though I am, I believe that I still can. That's why I'm asking.
So before we get there, yes, you're right. There's a very different. I want you guys to catch this part. The reason why I said you guys ask this sometimes because I do. Sometimes I go to God and say, you know, even when I was younger, I'm not sure if I belong. Under the, even now, under the blessings that you have for some people, I don't know if I deserve it. Because I haven't done what you told me to do. And I haven't followed all the rules. And my heart's not completely there. I don't love you as much as others. That happened. This woman did not like what Rep said, did not take offense. You know, if it was today, it's like, oh, you call me a dog? Hey, that's it. Forget you. I'm valuable. I am somebody. I am.
Hashtag.
Hashtag spirit of God.
Hashtag. I'm dignified. Hashtag I'm powerful. Hashtag I am woman. Something like that. Hashtag I'm man. Right? Okay. I like that. I like to push it. Okay. So, but she goes to Jesus. This is real. She says, I know who I am. You're right. I do. I am not of the Jewish heritage. I do not belong. Not only in the line of David, I do not even belong in this, in a economical status. I don't belong.
Yeah, I think it shows so much about this woman's, you know, everywhere she's at. I mean, everything you see about her, that attitude is like pure humility, right? It's like, yeah, I am of the lowest caste. I know it. I've grown up. I know the Jews look down on us. I know you're the king of the Jews.
Yeah.
I know I don't have any inheritance among this. I don't belong. And yet, if I could get close enough to you.
Hold on. But when you were saying, remember the Sermon on the Mount? Remember, what was the first thing Jesus said in his first sermon? It's like, we spent a long time on this. If you don't remember, I will just cry by myself. But that's okay. Don't worry. No. Remember Sermon on the Mount. What was the first thing he said? This is before this happens, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see in God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Remember we talked about blessed are the poor? So Jesus already knew. Jesus is talking about this situation. He's thinking, blessed are those who are spiritual bankrupt. Blessed are the poor, even the ones that, am I spitting on you? I'm sorry. Blessed are the poor, no money. Blessed are the weak. Blessed are the ones who need, who is not self-sufficient. They will see me. Oh, they will see me. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the first thing Jesus said to the crowds who are Gentiles. Blessed. So.
And the Jews were there too.
The Jews were there too.
So there's always this picture of he's speaking to those who are non-Jews, but where he's pushing the buck and arguing, like you talked about with Ryan, right, is with the Jews, because the Jews don't see need. They don't see their own need. Mm. They live in religious world. They're the type to come to church on Sunday and never see their own need, right?
And they are arguing with Jesus.
Yeah, right.
About church. You know, this woman's actually arguing with Jesus too. They're actually both arguing. They're pushing. They're like, hey, wait, they're doing this back and forth dialogue. But Jesus entertains this, you know, a little bit more. She's like, I'm gonna do something about this argument. The other one, if you go back and read it on your own, Jesus says, it's about the heart. I don't care about traditions, it's about the heart. So there's something here. Yes. So there's again this passage is very beautiful. It again tends against the Jewish people, yeah, and the non-Jewish who don't even know about God.
He gets tired from religious people who are pushing back on him.
Yes, as he left.
Right?
He's somehow, right?
Yeah, he's tired.
He's tired.
From pushing back against religious people who stick to their traditions, who have nothing in their heart. But he's willing to... He didn't push her away, right? It was the disciples that sent her away.
She didn't go away.
There's a type of engagement that he wants with someone who is poor in spirit. Someone who comes to him to say, I need something so desperately from you, and only you can give it.
So imagine that. He wants to engage with those people who have that heart, but yet it's not even the right time. And we saw that with water and wine. Remember, it was not even the right time. Because it is not right. That word is actually good in Greek. It is not good. It is not a good thing, a wholesome thing. They translate it into right. It is not the right time, right place. It's not even, I shouldn't even be doing this. It's not a moral thing, but it's not right. But you are poor in spirit, and Jesus will listen. So she says, yes, Lord. I know where I am. Even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table. Yes, Lord, I don't belong. I haven't done the right things. I don't worship you. I don't know much about you. I haven't served. I haven't followed the rules. But my daughter is demon possessed. So even me, I can get some crumbs. I can get some little blessings from you because you're God, you're Son of David.
And it just falls from you. She's not even saying, you will give it to me. I'll just take some scraps that is around you.
And that scrap can heal my daughter. That's what? No, I want the stuff on the table, right? I want the table. I want to eat with the king, right? She said, I can't even be at the table. I can't even sit on the seat. It's just my status is so low. Just let me pick it off. Do we ever approach me? Usually I approach you, hey, I got my degree. I am somebody. I am somebody. Put me at the table. I want a seat at the table. Desire, I don't even belong to the table. Just give me the crumb. Okay. So this is going back and forth. Jesus, you don't belong. You don't belong. Right, I don't belong. Give me the crumbs. Jesus says, you don't belong. Give me the lady says, I'm going to push in a little bit more. Give me the crumbs. So I want this very, very badly. I really want this. Give me the crumbs. That's how bad she wants it. So, right? Then Jesus answered her, oh, woman, great is your faith! Exclamation mark. It surprised him. That's how great the faith is. Usually Jesus doesn't get surprised, but there's a couple of occasions that he gets surprised. And this is one of them. He's like, wow. That's great faith. That is great faith. I don't see it from the religious leaders, but I see it from you. That's it. Done. Healed. Over. Done with. End of conversation. We don't hear about this anymore.
The end of the conversation should have been at 26.
When
Jesus says that, that should be the end right there. Right? When God doesn't give us answers to prayer, we stop.
We should, right?
No, because we usually do.
That's God's will. She said.
Yeah.
She said, oh yeah, that's God's will.
Yeah, that's it.
God's will. Thank you.
But I asked once, you know, or I asked a few times, you're just not answering my prayer. You're not. It's cool. Okay, I get it. But that wasn't her.
Well, she kept on pushing.
Yeah. She
kept on pushing.
Persistency.
There's something there, right? That led to. See that? There's real life exchange here. So here's the question. Okay, here's the question. I don't have an answer. I need you guys to participate, to give me the answer. You give me the answer. Okay. Jesus knows what great faith looks like. And he seems almost surprised to see it, right? Especially from a Gentile man. Why do you think, what do you think is the key reason to this great faith? Her versus Peter. Peter walked on water. Oh, we always talk about Peter. Oh, look at that, he's the one for, but you know, Jesus says, oh, you have little faith. I know what faith looks like. And yours, no, it's just like, he's so mad. And that's his disciple. But to the Canaanite woman, he says, oh, great faith. Right? This is Jesus, God, saying, great faith. Great is big. Right? Right?
You guys have like
great is big. little faith, right? So, yes, okay? So there's no mincing of the words. Great is great. Little is little. That's what Jesus is saying. So what? I want to know. What's the key reason? Don't you want this versus this? But Peter is a disciple. Peter is with Jesus. He is the apostle. But his faith is small. Does that blow your mind, that emoji? You know that emoji that blows? That's my favorite emoji. Doing that all the time. When I'm studying the Bible, that emoji should come to you all the time. That's why studying the Bible is so fun. Because nothing gets in my mind that way. This gets me. Like, why? Does anybody have some input? Does anybody want to say something? It's fascinating, right?
It looks like she's at the end of her rope. She has no idea what to do, and that's the last thing, and she has nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And even take away all my fire, whatever. Uh-huh. All I know that this man can heal my daughter. If you want me to lick the floor, I would do that.
Lick the floor.
Kind of a thing like that. But and you know, Jesus could heal her daughter. She would do whatever. And but Peter is like, well, I still holding back that I can do something. Oh yeah, okay, I'm thinking back and it's a lot, it's the heart is not right. It's not completely given it to the Lord.
Okay. I see where you're going with that. But I have to say, Peter is about to die, right? He's on water, and he can't swim. That's why he was like, oh no, I'm going to sink. And I know that feeling because I've drowned a couple times myself. I'm not a good swimmer. I like water, about dipping my feet in the water. That's about how much I like water.
But he has doubt.
Okay, he has doubt. Jesus is right in front of him. Jesus said, come to me. This Jesus pushing her, get away from me type of thing, right? Like, it doesn't belong to you. And Jesus is like, come to me, I'm going to save you. And Peter is like, I'm walking on water. And then he begins to sink. And Jesus, small faith. Small faith.
So yeah. Peter went from, in one instant, he went from great faith to little faith.
I guess.
And that pivotal moment happened when his eyes went off of Jesus. So I think it's not about what did you do right or wrong, or what did you say right or wrong. I think for the Canaanite woman, this argument of, hey, like, sorry, you don't belong, this is not for you, the focus was, yes, but you are like so great. I think her focus was on the grace and the goodness of God and the favor of the people. Basically, it's not on herself. She's not arguing, oh, but I still deserve it, or like, what can I do? I don't think her response wasn't, well, then what can I do to get it? You know, it wasn't works.
What can I do to get it?
She didn't, yeah, her response.
And how about Peter? Where did Peter
go? No, I'm saying, I think the focus, I think the faith portion
portion comes in when the focus is on God.
God, not
Once
her.
You lose the focus on God, it's like you kind of lose the faith portion.
Because
faith isn't about
That's good.
Faith is about who are you believing in?
Okay.
What are you believing
okay.
in? You know? And so I kind of see the difference there. And I think this is her response to the contrast of the Pharisees, right? They're arguing what makes them so great, so righteous, so deserving. And her is just like, it's not about me. I know my status, but this is about you and your goodness and who you are, like who I've heard that you are, who I believe that you are. And so that's why I'm coming to you. And she's arguing on the basis of God's character, while the Pharisees are arguing based on their works, the religious, you know, my rights, my power.
Okay.
And
Nancy,
Peter, of course, Peter going from great faith is about God. You say the word, and I can do it. To like, oh no, here comes the wave. Like his focus went off.
He
began to sink. Like he believed that the waves would overcome him more than he believed in the power of Jesus.
Okay.
I would say.
That's important.
Okay, sorry. While these verses have so much, and I think, you know, we talked about how when Jesus speaks, it's so multidimensional. And what I see is a different dimension from the disciples. First of all, the Canaanite woman, I remember a quote from the Titanic. Jack was playing cards and he said, well, you know, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You got nothing to lose. You know, when you have nothing, you have nothing to lose. Right? This Canaanite woman came with nothing. She had only things to gain. Nothing to lose. So there's nothing in the game, right? There's no skin in the game. But what I'm reading here, I see three different points of anxiety here from the disciples. Going back to verse 1. Pharisees in verse 2, Pharisees called out the disciples. Why do your disciples break tradition? That's the first, you know, I see one thing right there. Disciples are like being called out. And then Jesus goes on to, you know, talk it through. And then again in verse 12, you see the disciples, because their response is, do you know that the Pharisees were offended by what you're saying? Like they have this. They're being called out, and now they're asking Jesus for, like, defend yourselves, a.k.a. defend us. And then moving on, you see them, like, with peak level anxiety level, you know. Jesus retreats, and I woman back. And they're like, the funny thing is we don't know how long between the Canaanite woman and Jesus, like, how long was that silence? Right? Was it 5 seconds of awkward silence or was it like an hour? We don't know the time between them. But I could feel the anxiety that the disciples like, send her away. You know, they want Jesus to start defending, and now this woman, a random woman that has nothing to lose or nothing, you know, she's not worth our time here. Send her away. Well, I'm curious to see how long that time runs, but I think that's irrelevant but good to know. And, my thought process is, I think the other dimension is Jesus is still walking the disciples through this great mission. You know, like, the disciples are seeing a lot of themselves here in this process, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is what I see. I feel like the disciples have this skin of the game that is affecting them. And Jesus is bringing it back using this quote-unquote nobody to prove who Jesus is, who is indeed God.
Yes. No, those are, go ahead, Bob.
I think about the poor woman gave 2 copper, you know, very... You know,
yeah,
she gave
the
little of what she had, but it was still considered greater than compared to, say, this person who gave a lot, right? So I kind of think on that track, where
she didn't spend, she did more with her faith with the little that she had, meaning with the little time that she had with Jesus. And Peter and the other disciples had all this time, or 3 years, right, with him. And it's like, well, come on, dude. Like, you spent all this time with me, and then you still doubt? But then to the woman, again, that woman, it's, they just crossed paths. Like,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, I do. Yeah. That speaks a lot. Yeah. She does. She never seen Jesus.
Right.
She just crossed paths. She doesn't know even know the teachings of Jesus.
Right.
Yes, she is displaying this great faith,
yes,
according to Jesus, right?
Yes.
Compared to these people who have read my word, have lived, you know, like, you listen to me, you've been with me, and Jesus always points this out in the gospel. He tends to draw out these unlikely characters. You would think that they just don't know anything, but they are displaying great faith. So back to this, what's the separation? Yeah, you know, I think Rev's point out something. Peter looked away. She focused on the character of God. Right? You think that's a key reason why her faith was great? I know we're running out of time. We're running a little behind, okay? So if you guys need to go online as well, I know you may have to get to the kids' class.
Did you have any thoughts?
I did, but I don't know. I think the woman somehow appealed to God's abundance, his character. That she doesn't know much, but she says, whatever you're serving on the table, it's more than enough. Even the crumbs will do something. Right? Peter somehow doubted the supply, the adequate supply. It's like, this, I don't know if it's enough. And when I thought about that, I'm like, I think it's, for me, I'm always here. I just don't know if God can do enough.
If Peter was in that situation, probably persistent.
Maybe not.
Like,
yeah.
Because he didn't, based on this, he wouldn't have thought that the crumbs were enough.
Because he's following the rules, right? He said, you're right. I don't belong. I don't follow the rules. I don't belong. I am not Jewish.
I think Bob brings up a good point, and I also tracked with what Nancy was saying earlier about desperation. Like, I think Bob's kind of alluding to, like, Peter doesn't think a crumb is enough, right? Like, he wants more. And but yeah, I think he just has, like, a sense of pride. Even when he asked to walk on water, I think the way that he said it to me just sounded like he thought he was something. You know?
Yeah, it was something.
Like, hey, if you tell me to go there, I'll go. Like, it just feels like something of himself, but, like, you know, this woman, just, she knows she's nothing, right? So I think there's, like, a desperation level difference in there.
Sure.
But then I mean I like this point too, because then it reminds me of earlier when he said, like, great faith, and he was surprised. Like, the only other place that I remember the Bible says, like, Jesus was, like, complimented somebody's great faith was, like, the Roman centurion.
Yeah.
Right, like, a few chapters earlier. And so he's also, like, you know, kind of desperate, but also he, like, looked to Jesus, like, and his character, like what you're saying here. Like, I know that you're a, you know, commander of everybody. So, yeah, and I think it's funny then, like, the only two people that he complimented were non-Jewish.
They didn't know much.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And you have a certain desperation, like everyone else, I mean, maybe the Jews are just too proud or something.
No. Yeah. So there's a certain desperation level. There's a heart thing there, the humility part. Then there's like, it's not even knowledge, right? They just said, whoever you are, whatever you have to give, it is more than enough. There's just so much there, and I will not stop there. I'm not going to stop. Nothing's going to stop me from asking. Even if you say it doesn't belong to me, you're right, it doesn't belong. Let me get the crumbs. That's we're not gonna tease out even more, because I think there's more here, even for me to kind of go back and see how this works out. But that's part of, you know, the beauty, and I think the richness of God's word, because it doesn't stop just this morning. But you really, if you're really interested about this, because this pertains to our life, our faith, and our needs, what is the difference between my faith and this woman's faith? That's the difference. What is the real difference? Well, take Peter out of it. Just put yourself out into it. My faith versus this woman's faith, because we can learn something from Canaanite woman. And Jesus wanted to, what Nancy was talking about, Jesus is teaching his disciples something too. He's teaching us something using the Canaanite's great faith. Any other comments? Comments are always good, even if it's a few words. Comments? That was good.
I like that. First, you put down there too.
Oh, you like it? Okay, yeah.
Because both those examples I mentioned earlier too, the centurion and the Canaanite woman, they didn't need Jesus. They didn't need to see Jesus to heal them. Right? Like, the servant was at home, the daughter was at home, and then he's just like, all right, you know, they're done, they're good.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm assuming they believed and went home and then realized that they're back. But,
yeah.
You know, so they had faith. They didn't need the sight. But Peter needed the sight to see Jesus, and once he looked away, he felt like he'd seen.
I feel like I can almost see this in the lens of an immigrant, because she is basically, what is that? What's that? Huh? Or, yeah, she's kind of like a foreigner, right? She's seeking, I don't know, asylum, or she's a refugee or something, right? Basically, she doesn't belong to this country. But she's asking to receive help from this country that she doesn't belong in, you know? And then there are all these people who belong to the nation, and there are seasoned leaders who are just, you know, arguing about just, you know, yeah, things that tire out Jesus. It's to him, it's taxing. And you guys are not even arguing about and seeking. Pursuing the things that you guys basically take God for granted a lot of times, being the people of God. You know? Anyways, I kind of see a parallel between being a, you know, people of God, who's God's like, okay, you guys are not appreciative of what's in front of you, versus, you know, someone who's not a part of it but is. And almost believing that you have the power to rescue. That's why I'm. appendage there, and it almost makes me think about, like, what is my attitude, me belonging to God's kingdom, God's family. It's just an interesting, you know, and I think a lot of us being immigrants can kind of attest to that feeling of when you're coming and asking for something, sometimes we kind of give up, sometimes we don't ask, just want to stay quiet, don't want to get in trouble. Sometimes, you know, for this person, I'm sorry, it doesn't even say that she's a widow. Why is a woman coming to ask this? She's calling him Son of David. Like, what gives her the courage to approach him in that cultural context of, like, women shouldn't even be talking.
Right.
Like, she's not even a widow. I'm sure maybe she has a husband. Like, why isn't he coming to ask for the life of their daughter? You know, there's something. Yeah, she's a minority of a minority, exactly. And for her to kind of have this, not just courage or brazenness, but faith to come to him is another level that I think, it's kind of amazing in and of itself, given that more of a national or identity context.
That's really good, yeah. And Peter?
Yeah, I was, you know, when I first was a believer, I remember this verse, and I thought that, gosh, I'm called a dog.
Oh,
and I was offended.
Yeah. You were offended.
I was offended.
Yeah.
And I was like, gosh, that's so harsh.
Oh.
I didn't know Jesus was like this. I thought, like you said, right?
Yeah.
And I asked the more mature brother, I'm like, hey, what does this mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, how come Jesus is so harsh? And he didn't give me a good answer. Anyway. But,
she's like, I know. I'm going to defend Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he's going to die. Yeah. But I think after, you know, growing and knowing God's word a little bit more, when I start seeing this verse now, it's like, it's almost as if, like, you don't need to experience something big to be blessed. Like when you compare Peter walking on water, right? Just here, the attitude of this Canaanite woman is that her faith is, even the leftover and the crumbs, just being around the master's table is a blessing. Like, you can reap the blessings from just these minute, like small little crumbs, and just being by the master's table, you can be blessed. You know, you don't need to anticipate or expect something huge to be blessed or to experience God, right? It's just the attitude of approaching Jesus, just being around the master.
The little that Jesus can give is abundantly sufficient.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and then that's what she's saying. Gosh, even the crumbs has power.
In Jesus values at the end the faith.
The faith.
That's what he was after.
Exactly.
And she even believed. So think about it. The crumbs is nothing. But the crumbs can heal her daughter from demon possession. That's what Jesus said. That's great faith. You're not even believing that the main dish can heal your daughter. You think even the crumbs that drop on the floor can heal your daughter? Oh my goodness. That is amazing. That's great faith.
Peter thought
she is healed.
Peter thought the stuff on the table.
You probably need more stuff on the table. Because he didn't believe it's enough to keep him in the water.
So that's the contrast.
That's a big contrast.
Right?
Yeah, that's a big contrast.
He thought that the stuff on the table wasn't enough.
Not enough.
The woman thought
the crumb is enough.
That's the
crumb. That all has to do with her faith. It's quite amazing. Okay. Rebs, can you pray for us this morning? Thank you.
Father, want to recognize that first we're Gentiles, all of us here, and that we have received an incredible inheritance and identity that we have not yet fully even grasped or understood, or even our imagination falls short of what it means to belong to you. Lord God, we just open our hearts to for you to continue to let these words, let the scripture just ruminate in our hearts, and may you just, yeah, bring some new life and truth into us to change how we think, to change what we believe, and let us remember just how mighty and good you are, and the things that you have promised us is so good, and there's so much more than we could ever imagine. And we thank you for what we already have. Let us not be people who take anything for granted, but the blessings that we have, we just want to praise you and thank you and count every blessing. We thank you for the story and the faith of this Canaanite woman to inspire us. Holy Spirit, just work in our hearts throughout the rest of this day and just, you know, for all time, so that we may know more about you and just fall in love with you over and over again and be amazed by you over and over again. Love you. We honor you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.